That is not better. We're glad that each person is here tonight. We're glad that you can be here. If you're visiting with us, we're certainly thankful that you're here. We want to invite you back at any opportunity that you have to be with us. I want to remind everyone of our singing class that we're having tonight after services. It starts about 10 minutes after services, and we usually go for about 25 minutes or so. Over here in the adult classroom, we're getting ready for the upcoming annual singing that we have coming up on January the 7th. We're certainly looking forward to that. We're glad that you're here. Let's open our Bibles together. Tonight we're going to be studying the parable of the sower. Now, we've studied that parable many times. Many times we've gone over and over parable from the pulpit or in classroom environments. Tonight I'd like for us to think a little bit differently about that parable. Study something that we don't generally study when we think about the parable of the sower. You know, this time of year is one of my favorite times of year. And we've just recently had what some would refer to as the harvest time. You know, we see the farmers out in the fields reaping the benefits of their hard work, reaping the benefits of the abundance that God has blessed them with. You know, I guess it's the kid in me. I like to see the tractors out in the field. I like to watch them through the year, through the summertime, out working in the fields. We have this parable of the sower, of this man that goes out into a field. And he takes some seed with him. And he spreads that seed as he goes. Some of that seed falls on the path that he's walking on. Lays there exposed on the hard ground. The birds come and take it away, eat it. Other of those seeds, as he sows them out, fall on ground that has gravel in it, has rocks. It's not good ground for growing things. Those roots quickly come out of that seed, but there's no dirt there to support it. The sun comes out, burns those plants up. They wither away and die. The other seed falls on the ground with thorns and weeds. Those seeds grow too. But those thorns and those weeds, they take all the nutrients away from that seed. They choke that seed out. And it too dies. But there is good ground there. And that sower spreads those seeds on the good ground also. And those seeds take hold. And they grow. And they produce. They yield a fruit that is good for the sower. They are profitable plants. Most of the time when we study this parable, we go straight to the soil. We want to talk about the different types of soil that are here, the good and the bad. But tonight I don't even want to talk about the ground. I'd like for us tonight to talk about the sower. I'd like for us to talk about the man that sows the seed. And I'd like for us to talk about the seed. Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8 is where we find this parable. They relate it to us as Jesus taught it. Matthew chapter 13, we'll spend much of our time there. So as we begin to think about this man, this sower, who is he? And what's his purpose? What is it that he's doing? And it's simple, really. He's simply gone out to spread the seed. One of the great things about this parable in particular is that just a few verses after Jesus gives it, he turns around and explains it. He tells us exactly what it means. And it's because of that we can use this parable to understand other parables that aren't explained. And so we have this man, this sower. And what we come to understand is that the sower is the teacher. He is the teacher in the story. Jesus is the sower. Jesus is the great teacher. The one who came and lived and died, gave us a perfect example of how we should try to live our lives. Jesus is the teacher. John 3, verse 2 says, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" Jesus came to live as a man. To live as a perfect example for us. And he came to teach us. To spread the seed. But there were others that helped him. He enlisted the help of the apostles. They too were sowers. They too spread the seed. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus talking there to the disciples. Verses 19 and 20, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus wasn't the only one teaching, sowing the seed. He enlisted the help of the apostles, but it doesn't stop there. Teaching didn't stop with Christ and the apostles. It continues on. It continued on then and it continues on now. Acts chapter 8 verse 4 says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." In the early church there was persecution. People were scattered about. Early Christians were persecuted and they scattered away from that. But that didn't stop them. That didn't stop them from teaching. They just got to a new place and continued on. They just got to somewhere else and continued to sow. Continued to spread the seed. You know, just like that farmer plants that seed in the ground. God sends the rain. God gives the sunshine that those seeds need, that those plants need, so that they can produce. The same is true for us as we sow the seed for Christ. God gives the increase. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God provides the increase. We do some work, but God provides the increase. You know, I was listening to someone the other day talking about the soil. You know, every year, probably around your house, it is around mine, either before they plant or sometimes this time of year, you see those big trucks driving around in the fields. Maybe there's a big pile of fertilizer out there in the field, or maybe manure or lime or whatever it is. You see, those farmers go out and they test the soil. They see what nutrients it has and what it needs. And then they put those things on there so that they can help those seeds grow, so that they can provide those nutrients that have maybe been depleted. I think lots of times as Christians, we try to do the same thing. The reason that we go directly to the soil in the parables is because that's what we like to concern ourselves with. We like to think about what type of soil each person is. You know, you're probably the hardened soil. You won't last. You know, you got too much going on in your life. You're probably the soil that's got the thorns. You might last for a little while, but the cares of this world are going to get him. See, we like to be soil testers, but that's not what God wants. God doesn't want, He just wants sowers. He just wants us to spread the word, spread the seed. He doesn't ask us to test the soil, determine who deserves it and who doesn't. And that's what we see from the parable about this sower. He doesn't say, yeah, this soil needs it and that one doesn't. No, he just casts it everywhere. God will provide the increase. So let's talk about the seed. What is it? Well, we've already defined it. The seed is the Word. The seed is the Word of God. That's what Jesus says when He's explaining the parable. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Mark chapter 4, verse 14 says, the sower sows the Word. The seed that Christ was sowing, the seed that the apostles were sowing, and the seed that we are to be sowing is the Word of God, the Gospel of Christ. That's what we're to be sharing with others. That's what we're to be sowing in the world. Something that we learn is that the seed will produce after its own kind. From the very beginning, we understand that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 there, it says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. You know, we don't plant an apple seed and get an orange tree. We all understand that. The same is true with the seed that we sow when it comes to God. The things that we teach others is what they're going to believe. The way that we act, the way that we live, the way that we talk, the things that we talk about, that may be the only seed that anyone ever sees. That may be the only relationship they ever have with God is the one that they first see in us. The seed that we sow is what will be produced. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." The things that we do in our life, the people that we teach or the people that we lead astray, we'll reap the reward for that, whether good or bad. So we need to be careful when we're sowing this seed. We need to make sure that we have the right one. We need to make sure that we understand it. We need to make sure that we're prepared when giving it to others. Because we understand that the seed can save us. The seed can save us. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." The seed can save us, and we shouldn't be ashamed to tell others about it. We shouldn't be ashamed to sow it when we have opportunity. The seed can save us if we're willing to be obedient to it. James chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." The seed can save us if we're obedient to it. The seed contains life. There is life inside of the seed. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, there Jesus speaking, he says, "It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." There is life in the seed. There's life in the Word. There's life in the gospel. It can change our life here on earth, and it will certainly affect our life in eternity. There's life in the seed because the seed touches our hearts. Acts chapter 2, verse 37, a very familiar passage to us. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Brother Guy talked about this a little bit this morning. He's talking about baptism and the necessity of it, how it's essential for forgiveness and for our salvation. And when these people were taught, when the seed was sown, it touched them. It affected them. It made them want to do something about it. The seed produces faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That faith is produced because we heard it. Because someone was willing to sow the seed. That's where the faith that we have comes from. Ever thought about that? Ever thought about the faith that you have? It's because of someone else. You know, lots of times we like to think about ourselves and think about the things that we've done. You wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for someone else at some other point in your life helping you. Why can't we in turn help someone else? Someone sowed a seed in your heart. Why can't we do the same for someone else? The seed produces faith, and the seed produces change. It makes us want to change. It makes us want to do better. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." The seed produces change. That faith that is caused causes us to want to change, to want to do better, causes us to want to be obedient. There is power in the seed. How many times in Scripture or just in everyday life are we taught that simple idea? Some great plan or great tree. Some great thing comes from that little seed. Think about us as Christians. Think about the greatest Christian that you know. And it all started with someone sowing a seed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The only people who say that the gospel is foolishness is those who are foolish. Those who don't want to see. Those who don't want to accept. Those who don't want to be obedient. They say, I don't think so. There's no power in that seed. That's not for me. So, what will we do? What will we do with the seed? We have opportunity. Most of us probably have opportunity every day. At some point in our day, if not every day, probably we have opportunity to sow the seed. What will we do? What will we do with the seed? What will we do with the opportunity? Will we take it? What if you're not yet a sower? What if you haven't accepted the seed? Jesus, when he finishes with the parable, Matthew 13, verse 9, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear Luke 8, verse 18 says, "Therefore take heed how you hear." There is something we're supposed to do with the seed. Those of us who are Christians are supposed to sow it. Let's think for just a moment about the soil. What type of soil are you? If you're not a Christian, what type of soul are you? Are you the type that would have the seed fall on you and then do nothing with it? You're going to try for a little while and then probably give up? Or do you want to be that good soul that receives that seed and produces that plant, bears fruit that is profitable? Are you here this evening and you are not a Christian? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know the difference between right and wrong. You wish to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Now is a convenient time. If you're here and you are a Christian, you have sin in your life that needs to be corrected publicly, if there's any way we can assist you, we would invite you to come while the rest